Hope he was trying to steal my water. Good morning. I'm Avery, the director of Youth and Outreach here. It's great to be with you. Hope you had a great Christmas together with family. Hope it was rejuvenating and good for you. This summer, if you remember, Hobie was on sabbatical, and Steve gave himself the title of summer pastor. So I'm going to go ahead and give myself the title of holiday pastor. Think Memorial Day, July 4th, and Christmas this year. So you can go ahead and start calling me the holiday pastor. We're going to be in Hebrews 11 today, just four verses there, the first four verses in Hebrews. And this chapter in Hebrews has been nicknamed the Hall of Fame of Faith. It mentions people like Abel, who we'll talk about today, and Samson, and Noah, David, Abraham, and many more. If you think through some of these people's stories, they're a lot like you and me, sinners in need of God's mercy. These people had some really messed up stories, just like you and me. But they had a commonality outside of their messed up stories. Faith in God. So that's what we're going to be looking at today. Faith, what faith is, and how we can exemplify faith in our life. So read with me. It's in your bulletin, or if you have your Bible, Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 4. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gifts. And through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Lord, help us today, to help us see today that faith in Jesus is the thing that justifies us. Not good works, not success, not money, but a belief in the promises of Jesus. My prayer for us today is like that of the disciples in the Gospel of Luke. Lord, increase our faith. Nothing is more valuable to us or beneficial to others than our faith that saves us through union with Christ. Lord, help us see that faith is what sustains us in hardships and in the wilderness of this world. Help us to see that it is faith alone that will make us pleasing to God and useful to his kingdom. Through your Son we pray. Amen. When Lauren and I moved here from Florida 3 years ago, this coming February, we made a trip up before the move and looked at something like 13 or 14 houses, and unfortunately none of them worked out. We put an offer in on one, but it wasn't accepted. When we got back to Florida, we were actually told about a house that was about to come on the market. I think Hobie was actually the first person to tell us about it. So we looked into it. The only problem was we were not going to be able to see it in person before we made the move back up. So we had quite a few people come and look at the house for us, tell us about the house. We saw pictures of the house. People told us about the location. We did as much as we could without actually getting to go inside the house. So we ended up making an offer, and it got accepted, and we moved up here February 2019 and closed on the house without ever actually getting to go inside. We had the title and deed in hand, but we were not in the house yet. This passage today is trying to help us see and understand that's a little bit of what our faith is like. We don't just have a faith in faith. It's not a faith in hope or a faith in nothing. Our faith is not something that is worth nothing. Faith is not a feeling or an experience or a positive attitude towards life. Faith is not just an intellectual assent. It is a deep personal trust in God, that God's word is true. We have these great pictures of where we're going, just like Lauren and I had. We had pictures of the house. It looked great, but we hadn't been inside yet. We are told about this place we're going all the time. We hear about it on Sundays. We see it when we read the scriptures. We have a knowledge that Jesus is a real person that we can commune with and talk to. We're promised so many things in the scriptures. And we're not just promised these things, we're assured these things. We really have the title or deed in our hand. We're just not fully there yet. We're going to look at this passage in two different ways. If you like an outline, we're going to have a two-point outline today. First, faith explained, and then faith exemplified. Faith explained, the first two verses here in the passage are teaching us two very important things. The requirement for faith in the Christian life and the role of faith in the Christian life, those are two things that it is talking about. What he's saying is, simply put, faith plays a massive role in the Christian life. The first thing the writer says here is faith is the assurance of things hoped for. There's a fundamental relationship between faith and the assurances of the promises God has made to us that we have not received yet. Faith assures us of the things we hope for. The original language, the Greek here for the word assurance, actually means a title or deed to a house. That's how sure of a thing we're looking at here. The faith that Christians possess is much more than just the prospect of something that might happen. It's the declaration that it will happen. It will come to pass. Many of you are homeowners here, just like Lauren and I, and if I showed you the deed of my house, you'd probably believe me, right? You wouldn't say, no, let's go look at it. I don't quite believe you. I would not make you take me to your house if you showed me your deed. I'd believe you. Like, okay, yeah, you own a house. That's great. Faith is the title deed to the things you hope for that God has promised you. Faith is the means where you are assured of receiving what God promises to you in the Word. The writer goes on to say that faith is the conviction of things not seen. Faith is the way we become committed and convinced of things not seen. This concept is so important and is seen throughout the whole narrative of Scripture. God tells Noah he's going to flood the whole world, and it is not raining one bit. Noah built the ark by faith with no evidence that rain was coming. But Noah had to take God on his word. Abram is promised a son by his really old wife, Sarah, right, in her 90s. Go ahead and try to wrap that around your mind. Not many people in their 90s in here. Maybe Ken might be our only one, right? That's pretty old, and it doesn't seem likely, right? God promised that, and it came to pass. In Genesis 15, we see that Abraham believed, and the Lord credited it to him as righteousness. We see this over and over. Believers are called to trust in God's word even when we don't see it happening yet. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. The faith that Christians have is not a brainless thing. It's not just a sentimental feeling. It's a solid conviction resting in God's word. It's a belief that God created from nothing. It's a confidence that God's word is true and that Jesus really did come to make all things new. He goes on to say the men of old were commended for this, which we'll get to in a minute when we talk about the story of Abel and Abel's faith. Faith is what allows us to grasp the truth of God's creation. The next part of this passage says, by faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. In this one simple sentence, The writer of Hebrews is reminding us that faith is vital because it allows us to see and understand the world has not always been the way it is. The world did not just spawn itself. God spoke it into being. Faith is the means we don't just look at the world. It's like it's meaningless and random. Faith allows us to see the world without missing the big picture. Most of the time, what we think makes our faith successful is how strong it is, right? But that's really hard to measure. It's really hard to measure how strong someone's faith is. The thing that really makes our faith successful is the object of our faith. What makes our faith work, what makes it successful is what we put our faith in. I could tell you I have all the faith in the world that I was going to be a professional athlete at the age of 29, right? I could tell everyone around me that I'm going to go make the NFL. I could even take the whole next year to train for it. But if that's the object of my faith, I can assure you that's not going to happen, right? But on the flip side, if I get matched up against our middle school girls in knockout outside, I think I would have a lot of faith in that, and most of you would have a lot of faith in that, that I would win that game, right? The object of our faith matters, right? So that was faith explains, and now we're going to move into faith exemplified. Just this one verse here, but there's a lot there. It says, by faith, Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as righteous when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, Abel still speaks, even though he is dead. The overarching point here is that Abel's sacrifice was better than Cain's because he was a man of faith and Cain was not. This is what the account in Genesis told us earlier. It's what the writer of Hebrews says. Abel's offering was better than Cain's because of his faith. This here is a heart issue. In the Genesis account of this Cain and Abel story, which we just read a little bit earlier, there are some subtle things we see in the text about Cain and Abel's offerings. Abel brought the firstborn of his flock and their fat portions. So if we think through this, think what the writer's trying to convey. Abel brought the best, the fat portions were considered the best, and he brought the first from his labors. He brought the first fruits from his labors, the firstborn of his flock. The first evidence that he had success from his labors, he turned around and immediately gave it to God. Abel really had no way of knowing if any more of his livestock might produce. Right? That was the first one that produced, and he brought it. He brought it and did not hold back. We see simply that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground. There's a lack of description there. We get a lot more description in Abel's offering. But that lack of description is probably telling, right? Cain is bringing something after the harvest has already began. He's bringing from his surplus. He responded to God's blessings of his labors in a way that was not a first thought, but it was more of an afterthought. It was not the same sort of priority for Cain as it was for Abel. The point is, Cain did not come in faith, but Abel did. We see two ways of living here shown. A way of faith, the way of Abel, and a way of unbelief, the way of Cain, the way of unrepentance. Cain might have had more success than Abel. He might have actually brought more physically to God than Abel did. But Abel's faith is what made him great. J.C. Ryle stresses the vitality and importance of this point by saying this. He says, I suspect that we're all apt to err a little bit on this point, talking about faith. We think too much and talk too much about graces and gifts and attainments and do not sufficiently remember that faith is the root and mother of them all. He goes on to say, you read of the lives of eminent Christians, perhaps, such as Newton or Martin Luther or George Whitefield or McShane, and you're disposed to say, what wonderful gifts and graces those men had. I answer you should rather give honor to their faith. Faith was the mainspring of the character of each and all. And he keeps on with this point by saying, I can fancy someone saying, they were so prayerful. That's what made them get where they are. I answer, why did they pray much? Simply because they had much faith. What is prayer but faith speaking to God? Another perhaps will say they were so diligent and laborious, and that accounts for their success. I answer, why were they so diligent? Simply because they had faith in God. What is Christian diligence but faith at work? He goes on to say, they were so bold, that rendered them so useful. I answer, why were they so bold? Simply because they had much faith. What is Christian boldness but faith honestly doing its duty? The scripture at the end of that verse 4, it says, though he being dead still speaks, the writer reminds us that faith is not necessarily rewarded on this earth, right? You've probably had examples of that happen in your life. You've shown faithfulness and you thought, maybe this will get me something, right? And it does the exact opposite. But God himself testifies to the righteousness of the faithful. Abel's blood still speaks to us today because of his faithfulness, reminding us of the value of eternity. How do we have this type of faith? A lot of the commentators read into the Genesis account we worked through a little bit earlier, and they discussed the aspect that Abel brought a blood sacrifice and Cain did not. We cannot come to God by our own means. It is entirely possible to be religious, to come to church every week, and be lost. But we come to God by a more excellent sacrifice than what even Abel brought to God. We come to God by the blood of the Lamb, the blood of Christ. Faith is the foundation of our worship. It is our response to what God has revealed to us. Faith rests in what God says or promises. Abel came to God by faith, and it was enough. It was sufficient. Cain came to God by his own terms, and it was not sufficient. Faith is believing in God and what he says. Faith is believing that Jesus' words are true. Jesus tells us in Matthew 11, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. These words are a call to faith. He says, come to me. We struggle with that. We're a lot more like Cain. We come with preconceived ideas and plans. We come with pride. Our eyes are far too often on other things. Abel still speaks today because he simply had faith in God. In John chapter 6, Jesus tells the people that they must eat his body and drink his blood. And what he is really saying here is he is the sustenance that we need to live. Jesus is what we need. We must come to him in faith. Jesus is the only one that can provide nourishment for our weary souls. We see later in Hebrews, in the chapter 12, in verse 24, it tells us that the blood of Jesus speaks better things than Abel's blood. Abel's blood cried out for vindication, for right reason. He was murdered in cold blood by his older brother. But the blood of Jesus cries out for vindication as well as salvation. Luke 23:34 says, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. That was a cry for salvation. The blood of Jesus cries out for mercy upon sinners like you in me. Many of us go the way of Cain all the time, and we will go the way of Cain probably today a few times. But today is a call to go the way of Abel, to believe. We have to hear the blood of the new covenant, the blood of Jesus. Today and every day, we must turn to Christ and trust in him alone to be saved from our sins and the just judgment that otherwise awaits us. We actually have a journey with an end in sight. We're going to meet the King. We're on this journey with our title in hand, right? We know where we're going. We are given the title. We're told we'll be there one day. We're given those promises. One day, Jesus Christ will be fully vindicated. When he is, all who have not approached God through him will be eternally punished. But we can escape that wrath and come to Jesus in faith. We must come to Jesus by faith. Like Abel, we must hear the gospel and respond in faith. Jesus came and died a nasty, undeserved death so that he would take on the wrath of God for those that believe. But unlike Abel, he did not stay dead. He conquered death and rose again so that those that believe, those that have faith and trust in him would live and reign with him one day. We must come to Jesus by faith. And by faith, that causes us to worship. So let's do that because he's worth it. And Jesus saves weary souls like mine and like yours. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your goodness, for the story of Abel and the stories of Abraham and Noah and Samson, and just that it's a reminder that we are sinners that need to come to you by faith. That is the only way that we are forgiven. I pray that today we are called back to that, that those of us that have had a hard time believing, a hard time coming to faith, just on our daily basis, or those that have never done that. I pray today is a day we're called back to you, a day that we can be like Abel. We can believe and we can bring good offerings to you because you're worth it and you love us and you died for us. But you didn't stay dead like Abel. You conquered the grave and rose again so that we might be with you forever.